I want to just make a few comments. I'm going to have then we're going to talk. If we're going to have someone, Carol. I want Carol Flanagan to come up for a moment, and then we're going to see some video of some pictures of what we did, and then we'll have some people share with you about some of their experiences. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to come right now, Carol, but I just in a minute. Yeah, sorry. If I wasn't clear, but. But in any case, so about a year ago or so, we decided that we wanted to do this international missions experience. In our church, we see missions as having four levels. Locally, so that would be the Jerusalem model. We want to attend to people here locally. So almost every month, we do a benevolence fund, and we help people financially. There are other things that we do. There are a number of you in this church here that I have called you up and said, this person or this person, they are not a church member, but they live in the community. This person is a church member. Would you be willing to help them in some way? And so we have some really skilled and gifted people who have given sacrificially of their time and even of their resources to help people in our community in that manner. And so that's sort of like the Jerusalem model. We also do the ladle in Ambridge, and we used to have a food bank until Giant Eagle decided that Pittsburgh deserved all the food and not Beaver County. So that sort of got cut off from us. But there were some other things that we did as well. And so there's the Jerusalem and then Samaria model, right? And the Samaria is sort of like the regional kind of thing that we might do, how we might impact people in this sort of greater Pittsburgh area. And probably we could do a little bit more there than what we do. One of the things that I have in mind, I have on my desk over there, is it's a homeless shelter for men in Beaver Falls. And as a pastor, I have these encounters on a fairly regular basis where these men have no place to go. They have no food. There's just no place. Some of them are not very nice people. Some of them are in the situation they are because of just life's circumstances. And so we're going to be talking about that on our missions committee. But that's sort of like the Samaria model. So Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea. Every other year or so, we do some kind of missions project where it's in the larger sort of eastern part of Pennsylvania and eastern part of the country. And so we've gone down to West Virginia and done some work in Appalachia there. Not incredibly intense, but I think very helpful. And it's been very good for us to do that. And then the uttermost parts, you know, and international. So what I'm saying to you is not only is that our model, but that's the biblical model, okay? So I understand that that there are people in every one of those regions who need help. And there's certainly people locally, but there are also people internationally. And so as Tara read the Great Commission this morning, the mandate from Jesus is that we attend to these people in all four of those areas. And this is a relatively new thing for our church. I mean, we've historically, I think prior to my coming here, I'm not sure that model was in place. I'm not trying to make any critiques of my predecessors or anything. I'm just saying it's a relatively new thing, and we think it's very important. So we went to the uttermost part of the earth called the Dominican Republic, which shares the same island with Haiti. If you were to get on Google Earth and look at the island itself from outer space, the border to the right, which is Haiti, is all brown. They've defoliated the entire that portion of the island. As more money has gone into Haiti from the international community than all of the continent of Africa. But only 5% of the money and resources that go to Haiti get through to its people. The government takes the rest, sells what they take, and those kinds of things. There are people I know that go to Haiti. Those people are desperately poor. And I'll say this to you. I mean, in God's grace, I would hope that he would save the people in power and get them to think differently. Certainly, there are some examples of that in the Old Testament where people were incredibly wicked and repented and came back around. But then there were some people who were incredibly wicked and didn't come back around, and they were judged for it. And I'm thinking that If the regime that's in Haiti continues to do what it does without ever repenting, there's probably a special, very deep, very dark, very hot place in hell for people like that. Because of the abject misery that they bring upon their own people. So pray for the people in Haiti. As a church, I don't think we're wired for a place like Haiti. I think we're wired for more of a place like the Dominican Republic. And so they have very poor people there as well, but it's a country that's where they are democratically elected. There's a lot of corruption, but it runs fairly well. And there are a lot of wonderful people there. Yes, Bonnie. You know, I don't know. They have a lot of churches there. And the church that we were at, we were at two primary churches. The large church that we were at is probably the dominant church in that region of the island. I mean, that pastor's a great pastor. And he does a great job. Yep. How, since 1968? Yep. So they've been there for, almost 50 years. Yeah.
And she went to the Dominican.
Oh, did she really?
Yes. Reverend Fibard was here, and elders laid hands on her before she
went. Oh, wonderful.
That
I didn't,
was the first and only
I did not know that. Yeah.
Before the elders.
So she was a long-term missions person then. Is that right? Short-term or long-term?
Short-term.
Short-term.
She went for a week.
Okay, she went for a week as well.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
From group, not group from this church.
No, I think it was Alliance. It was Alliance.
Yeah, but it wasn't from
But it wasn't from our church.
No,
yeah.
She was the only one from
yeah.
our church.
Okay, with another group from another Alliance church. Yeah. So I just want to say this. Look, thank you. Thank you for responding in this way. Was it around $15,000, Carol, we raised? Is it around $15,000? Somewhere around there? Yeah. $15,000 over the course of the year that we raised to send us down there.
Amen.
And I need to just say a couple of things. Our team functioned flawlessly. I mean, they were great. In fact, the director who was there said, this is such an easy group. He said, it's like, you know, we're just cruising along here. And so everybody just sort of did their thing. Nobody was demanding. We took responsibility for ourselves. It was a great group. And we participated in the church service of the larger church that we were at. They were wonderful, very loving, very giving people who have a real heart for the people in their city. And then we were at this tiny little church. The church itself, as big as that section right there, that where the overhang is, that's probably how big it is. Certainly no bigger than that. And so we had about 40 kids that we had for VBS, and the VBS program that we ran was, and I can say this because I wasn't in charge, was outstanding. I mean, every day those kids went home with something that was precious to them. That Dina and Nikki and a group of other people, they were able to pull together. The last day they left with just a bag full of stuff that will remind them of us, that was a blessing to them, that they don't really have an opportunity to have. Okay? And so we as a sort of a culminating that, on a Friday, we walked throughout the neighborhood and we visited various homes. One of the homes that we visited, you know, it's just different around here. If you go to, usually here in the States, if you knock on somebody's door, kind of sort of unannounced, you know, don't be surprised if they crack the door or machine gun nests pop up on the eaves or whatever. I mean, people are just very guarded and they're just not. But they just threw the door open. They went throughout the house and got chairs and had us all sit down, and we all sat down and we asked him if there was anything that we could pray for them about. And here the sort of the patriarch of the house, the father, had just recently had a heart attack. And he slowly walked out and sat in the sitting area where they were, and we began to talk with him, and he just began to weep. He just wept. Isn't that right? Isn't that what he did? And he just, you know, he wept because he was afraid. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. And he was surrounded by, I think, pretty loving family. I think he was really touched and blessed by our presence there. So we read some scripture, and I think it was scripture that was really appropriate for him. And then we saw about two or three other homes. One home we went into was an older woman who really loved children. And on top of her house was a second floor that never got finished. So there was cinder block there and an open wall and all that kind of stuff. But when you went into the house and you looked up at the corrugated steel ceiling, you could see light through it. And you thought, well, like, what happens when it rains? You know, they're probably pushing furniture all over the place and putting buckets out. But she had a real heart for children. Those children, you could see, loved her, and she watched them. And because she knew we were having the VBS program, she sent the children there. And they were really cute, and we wanted to take some of them home with us. And then the final home that we went to was a woman about this tall. She was stratospherically challenged. I mean, she just had like no height to her. But she was there were 20 people there, and she said, "Would you like some iced tea?" And it's kind of rude to say no, you know. But she went back into her house, and we were all hoping that the water was bottled water, you know, just be. So we prayed fervently in that regard. But Montezuma's revenge, you know. And it was bottled water, thank the Lord. But she, you know, she made it, and we waited while she made it. And then she just cheerfully came out, and we had tea, and we talked. And then the other team came. So now there were like 40 people or so around the house, you know. And it was just people would, it's an event when they see Americans. Because there's this mythology that's associated with Americans. I don't know if you know this or not. And what we have to be careful of is that we don't feed that mythology, right? But at the same time, that we're gracious, we're good, we're kind, we're loving, all those kinds of things. And so that was, I think, you know, we were all a little nervous about that, just going to strange homes and whatever, but it was kind of like a highlight of the week. We thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. So I have to tell you, I was very impressed with the director that was down there. I was very impressed with the pastor of the large church in particular, and the pastor of the small church was equally very giving, very loving. They honestly do the best with what they have. They just do, and they make it work in all kinds of ways. Like, for example, there are a lot of scooters and motorcycles down there, and they drive them without helmets or glasses. Now, I don't know if you've ever gone like 35, 40 miles an hour on a bike without glasses, but if you hit a locust and you get hit by, you know, in your face by a bug or something like that, you're going to feel it. And so they do that. I saw a scooter with a washer and dryer on the back of it. I kid you not. I don't know how they did it. They clearly violated some physical laws that I'd never seen violated before, okay? But you, and they'll tell you, I mean, you'll see huge boxes with bananas or whatever, or big sacks. You'll see a dad riding his scooter or his motorcycle. Behind him was a propane tank. Behind the propane tank was his 8-year-old son holding on to his dad like this, keeping the propane tank from falling off, okay? So I think you would have got stopped here in the States or something like that, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, road signs down there are a suggestion. And Dave will tell you, every day it was an exercise in playing chicken vehicle. Every day. The bigger the vehicle it was, the more chance you were going to win the game of chicken, okay? Because everybody else would back down because you were bigger than what they were. Isn't that true, Dave? And Dave said to me, he drives truck for a living for Giant Eagle. He said, I could never drive down here. He said, I'm just too cautious. I'm too careful. I care too much. I could never drive. I'd never get anywhere because everybody would be cutting in front of them. So, I mean, the traffic pattern's like somebody kicked an anthill, okay? So it's sort of like that. But, you know, we had, it was just fascinating to see. It was how people lived. We were thankful for how we lived. We were thankful for our church. We were thankful for that. The physical portion of the work week was this, that as a part of the vision of the Alliance, they wanted to create a retreat and camp and conference center of sorts. And so they've just bought some land. And so our job then was to help the professional construction workers, I think who were mostly Haitian, help with the footer and with the cinder block wall that they were putting in. So we shoveled sand and we shoveled gravel and wheelbarrowed it. And I would say, you know, as between the two teams, I would have to say that we hand shoveled probably, I'm just guessing here, based on the gravel that we had out here, which was 45 tons, I think, that we put. I would say it was about every bit as 3/4 of that gravel. And, you know, so we shoveled it and we wheelbarrowed it. And we had about 3 hours in the morning to do that. I wore long pants the first day. And then after that, I wore shorts because if I hadn't been sweating so much, they would have caught on fire. I mean, I was that hot. So it was warm down there. But our team worked really hard. And it was very helpful to them. And someday they want to be able to take kids from the city, Santiago, who've never been out in the country. I mean, when I did work up at Surf City up in Michigan, we would have kids from the inner city who would come. On their way to Surf City, they never saw a live cow grazing in the field. They never saw that. And so there were these kinds of kids in the city of Santiago who'd have an opportunity to go out to a camp like that they're building to do that kind of a thing. So it was hard work, but it was really good work, and it was very fulfilling, and we really enjoyed it. Our living accommodations were fine. We stayed at this institute that was Methodist. The Alliance rents this thing, and so overall it was pretty nice. It wasn't onerous. The beds that we slept on, I mean, look, you know, the bed I slept on, I'm pretty sure was box springs with dust over top. And, you know, and I've probably slept on granite slabs that were softer than that bed. But it was okay. It was okay, you know, except for a couple snorers. We were fine. I was not one of them. We had some people sucking the drapes off the windows in that room, so while they snored. But it was good. It was very good. And one of the interesting things, too, is we were getting ready for dinner and saw some people rush over to where the piano was in this little cafeteria area, the dinner area. It was one of the kitchen workers. He had a plastic coat hanger. And he ran over, and I looked, and there was this rat on the floor, you know? And they were chasing it, and I ran towards him, and he whacked it with that plastic coat hanger. He got him, knocked him across the floor. You could see his tail do this in his death throes, and that was kind of cool. Then he threw him in the soup pot, and we had him for the next day. But no, he didn't, no. But the ladies did scream, you know. And, you know, so you're going to see those kinds of things down there. I mean, they're big deals to us, but they're not as much of a big deal. And it was clean. I mean, it's not like it wasn't clean. And they had to lock us in every night. I mean, everything's locked with wrought iron gates. And so every night I went down early to get up early, and I'm locked in, you know, with this wrought iron gate. Just in case. But it was all very safe, and it was all very good. And I think all of us were really blessed, and we were so happy that we had that opportunity. So thank you for supporting us. Now, I do want to say just a couple more things about it. Number one, many of the pastors down there have, at best, a high school education. a high school education. They have very little training when it comes to youth ministry. And so as I talked with Brandon, the director down there, I said to him, the conversation, clearly what they need is they need some kind of an established school or institute or even seminary for some of their pastors and some of their youth workers. So I said, look, I have some experience in higher education. I have some education. And I think that probably, I didn't commit you, but I said, I think probably our church would be supportive of maybe me coming down once or twice a year and helping to train your pastors. And I said, I have other people that I can bring, people in our church. And I said, I have people that I know at Geneva College that probably would be willing to give a week who could do biblical theology, who could do leadership classes on leadership, pastoral theology, all those kinds of things. It's important skills, important knowledge to help make them better at what they do. I don't know if you know this, but I wrote a book back in 2002 on youth ministry. It's only one of two books in existence that I'm aware of on youth ministry in the small church. I mean, that's how privileged the large church is. Nobody cares about the small church. So I wrote this book on youth ministry in a small church, and about 5 or 6 years ago, they printed it in Spanish. Who knew, right? So I said, look, I'll get some of those books and I'll send it down to you. Might be helpful, might not be, you know, but use it for a paperweight if you need to. I don't care, but maybe it might be helpful. But here's the thing. I would like to have an ongoing, meaningful, redemptive relationship with a missions outlet somewhere where on a regular basis we are communicating and that we really sort of take them under our arm as a church family. And we have some kind of regular involvement with them, whether we're going down or whether some of them come up or we send things down or whatnot. I was so impressed with this guy, Brandon, that I think that we should think about that. And I'd love for you to think about partnering with them and with me on that kind of a thing. So I think that would be really good. And I think that we could put a heck of a team together. Here's the other thing. They have an orphanage. I didn't get a chance to see the orphanage. But I think I know some people in here that could get fired up about working and helping in an orphanage. And I think that there's some way that we can probably have a meaningful impact on an orphanage in that regard. So there are a number of things that we could do as a church. I think a number of things that we should prayerfully consider as a church. And so that's my takeaway. You know, that's my takeaway in terms of our experience. And so I'm very, very thankful that I had that possibility. So that's my overview. I'm going to have the team come up, and for 2 or 3 minutes, 4 minutes, they're going to share with you some of their experiences. There are only 6 of them. 4 of them could not be here. But before we do that, I want Carol Flanagan to come up. Don't play it yet. Don't play it yet. Yep. Thanks. Good. All right, Carol. You're on. So I don't know if you know this, but Carol Flanagan has a unique gift with organization and details. And she was unbelievable in how she helped put this trip together. And it just requires a tremendous amount. I'm just telling you, if it were me having to do it, a lot would fall between the cracks, okay? We'd be scrambling around like the Marx Brothers trying to fix some stuff. But not so with her. She was just really outstanding. And so the team got together, and they gave me some money to get you some things. So first things first, it's not a real good one, but we thought you would enjoy this. This is, when you buy this, some of the money goes to some things that they do down there. And so... So there's a little thing, yeah. Thank you. Yep. And then we got you this Envision shirt, so you could wear that. See the heart so the island is in the heart, if you can see that. So it's kind of cool how they did that.
And I love T-shirts, thank
you. Yep, and then we were at a store, and she was a wonderful Christian lady who really helped us out as a team. And so she just gave us, it's just a tiny little thing. But here's the thing that I wanted to...
It's a magnet.
It's
a tiny little thing. It's a butterfly.
But you know, I thought of, you know, butterfly symbolic of.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it symbolic of in the Christian thing? Rebirth.
Rebirth.
Yeah, that's right.
Rebirth.
And then down there, they have the only place in the world that you can get this. They have a stone that's native to their island. What's it called, Ruth?
Latimar.
Latimar. And it's you can only get it there, and it's beautiful. And so we wanted to get you this stone and this necklace.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to see it?
Let us see it.
Okay. This is the stone right there.
Oh,
teardrop.
Beautiful. It is very nice.
And here's your chain with it too. Oh. All right. So hopefully you can wear it. It's really, really pretty. And then
beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I bought a Latimar cross, so I'm wearing a Latimar cross. It was really, just
beautiful,
really,
too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you're welcome.
You.
And thank you. Please give Carol a hand. She was just tremendous. Here, you can have this bag if you want it to.
Oh, thank
I just
you.
Grabbed it, you know, so it's not the best bag. But.
Thank you so much, and thank you to the thing.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you for the whole team.
We're very thankful for you. So,
amen.
Yeah. If you're interested in that Latimar, by the way, what's that? Oh, yeah. And let me just say this about the trip insurance. So why is it in the Dominican Republic that their airport down there, which is a two-third world country, can run flawlessly, but when we come to Newark, which is the center of the universe in terms of civilization, it's like the Marx brothers are all running around. They don't know what to do, you know, and they canceled our flight. And so we spent an extra $1,000 or so, a little less than that, just getting back because we had to rent vehicles, and it was just, but again, our team was awesome how they handled that. It was just really how they did that. But we're hopeful that the trip insurance covers it. If the FAA canceled the flight, the trip insurance is null and void. If the airline canceled the flight because of weather, then our trip insurance works. So, well, let me see. Tuesday, I sent... You can't talk to a customer service person personally. You have to send them an email. I've sent two. I've not heard anything back. So,
it should work.
Well, we'll see. Whatever they do. So pray about that. Otherwise, we have to find a way to cover $1,000.
Sell more hoagies.
Sell more hoagies or whatever. Yeah. So, sell Sarah's candy again. We could do that. That's worth $1,000 right there. We're doing it for fun. That's right. All right. So I want our team to come up for a minute. Why don't we just have the whole team come on up that's here. And while they're coming up, why don't we go ahead and play that, Bobby? So here's some pictures and some music. And Dina put this together. She did a great job with it.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy.
That's a mall. Market.
When all of a sudden,
that's the institute.
I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by
glory.
And
that's where we ate.
Just how beautiful you are and how great your
She's a Nahos, by the way.
For me.
Oh! Who did that?
Ryan. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us.
I'll remember that, Ryan. We did have Wi-Fi on the bus. Most of them. They were great. That's a church. That's the other team. That's the church where we were at. Yep.
Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree. Bending me. The weight of his wind and
playing basketball. Dave was our star, by the way. He's a youth minister there. He's a great guy. That's our construction plan. A guy lives in that. By the way, there are paint companies and glue companies that would like to put properties of that mud down there in terms of staining and sticking. That's their church right there. Baseball's huge down there. Bigger than soccer, bigger than basketball. Oh, how he loves us. They have nice beaches. We went there for an afternoon. He loves us all. I wanted the burgers for the cat. Yeah? Yeah, they bumped us to first class. Six. Is that it? That's okay. We're good. Yeah. So it's important that you see this, that we were an extension of you. This wasn't us. It was you through us. And you blessed many, many people there. You blessed them. Okay? I want you to understand that. You touched lives for eternity by helping us to go. Please understand that. So, at this time, I'd like Dina to come up and share a little bit about what she did. Dina was our VBS coordinator.
Woo-hoo! Great job. It's a note, Sam. Well, I did organize the VBS, but I kind of want to give you a little overview of like my perspective and what I learned on the whole trip, because I need you to know going in that I had super anxiety about the construction and the prayer walks. The idea of going to someone's house to pray with them and not speaking their language was something that had me very anxious to go do. But it was weird that Friday, dropped off my kids at my parents' house. I don't know. I felt suddenly at peace. I was at home, crazy, printing out more papers and trying to do everything I could and staying up all night before we left for our flight at like 2 o'clock in the morning. But I had to get my head and my heart in the game before we went, right? But I have to say, everything about the Dominican Republic is beautiful. It's simple and breathtaking. Just everything was just beautiful, especially the people. This is me. I have to ask questions. Well, I asked Bethany and Brandon so many questions about the people of Dominican and some of the things that I learned. It's a small island with a 2-to-1 ratio to Haiti, which we said. It's about the size of Connecticut and New Hampshire if you put them together, is how big the Dominican Republic is. So I wanted some perspective of how big that was. The absolute minimum wage is $100 a month, but most people make closer to $3 to $4 a day. However, we passed McDonald's, and the sign said 195 pesos, which is about $4. So if the average person makes about $4 a day, a happy four-piece meal is about $4 a day. So kind of like puts in perspective what the average person there, like the poverty that in which they live. Water and electricity can be shut off at any moment. Brandon and Bethany lived in a community of middle-class people, and they usually don't see electricity for 8 to 24 hours a week, every week. They just turn it off. When their systems are overloaded, they just turn it off. So just getting perspective on how things were. More poor areas saw larger blackouts. I mean, they could see no water, no electricity for weeks at a time, days to weeks at a time. However, the Dominicans are super proud that they're Dominicans. It's a melting pot there. Everyone is very proud of their culture and their heritage. And you can just see it. Everyone exudes love, and all the people that we saw, the love of God, too. Like, it was just amazing. You can see the way they greeted us. It was a hug and a kiss. I had to touch people, which kind of first was hard for me. I don't know why, but, like, hugging and kissing strangers. But that's what you do. And you learn, too, that that's just how you greet everyone. The construction site, I said anxiety about because I wasn't sure how much work I could do. But, you know, when we were struggling, there was one guy, John Cayley, would come over and he would help us. He would literally do more work in 5 minutes than I did in 30 or the whole day. But he would come over and break up the dirt so we could move it. He was great. I fell. I slipped off my shovel. I was doing something. Found the ground. Turned around. Of course, all the Haitians and Dominicans are laughing at me, but it was totally okay. Okay? And he kept making eye contact with me and he kept laughing at me, but it was okay. Like, it didn't matter. Like, my anxiety was totally gone. At the church, we prayed in our own languages a lot of times, but it didn't matter because you could feel what people were saying. You could feel that their heart was just being poured out in everything that they said. And it's something different that I don't want to say, like, I don't always feel it here. I don't feel it in myself, but it was just something you could just feel in the churches, like the pureness of everyone when they were there and how into it that they were. It was so moving in the worship and the prayer and just everything that we did. And then VBS was amazing. Like, my team was awesome. Like, we practiced the night before, which was the first time many of them heard some of these songs and the dances. But getting there the first day, it was a rush. We got there, like, a few minutes late. It was crazy getting set up. But everything went flawlessly. I had a pack of suitcase every night with all of our things. So it was like we worked out of this little teeny tiny suitcase and, like, trying to give out things. But what was amazing was simple things like chalk and bubbles. Our kids were just in love with them. They were begging for more. We gave them Play-Doh, and it was the first time they had seen Play-Doh. They're used Play-Doh. To clay. But they loved the Play-Doh. By the second day, they were asking for Play-Doh and Play-Doh and Play-Doh. So we had, like, a few left over, and we were giving them to the kids.
They didn't know how to take it out of a little plastic container. They would just hand it to me and say, "What?" You'd pull it out, and then they could play with it. Yeah.
They just loved they loved our attention. And we knew that they knew God. And many of them knew the stories. They were able to answer our questions. So that was really cool to see that this church had reached out to the children. And it also showed us how much these parents loved their children. They showed up in their best attire the first day of VBS and continued for the 3 days that we had them. Like, they were so proud to be there and to show us what they knew, and their hands were up, and they were just so excited, and they loved dancing and singing with us. We were placed in this tiny church called El Guano, which actually means palm leaf. I actually thought guano meant dung, which it does, but I had to keep researching. To me, it means palm leaf. I was really confused there for a while. But this church was so tiny. It was literally the size of my, like, living room, with 40 chairs crammed in there and all of us, and it was so hot in there and we were sweating, but it didn't matter. We found all this energy after working in the morning, and it was just awesome. And it was, I think, some divine intervention that we ended up at this church, because we had from Linda like 48 gifts, mm-hmm. and we saw about 35 kids the first day. We ended with about 44, 45 kids. And we were able to give each and every one of them one of the bags that we had made that had, like, Christian coloring books and just little trinkets and toys that they were just so in love with. Like, it was so cool how appreciative that they were. And moving on to the next part of it was the prayer walks. This was my anxiety, going to these people's homes. But God did something here. He put us in the homes of the kids we taught VBS. It's something they had never done before. And I highly recommend it. I'm sending Bethany an email saying she needs to do that again. They put us in the homes of these kids' parents. So we got, so you instantly sort of felt comfortable because the kids were there. And again, you had to work with translators, and I didn't even mention how difficult that was to say a sentence. Have a translator say a sentence. Have a translator say, like, I would get excited and try to say, like, these full 50-word sentences, and I'd be like, Luckily, our translator was phenomenal. Awesome. Ezekiel, he was a teacher, so he knew what I was going to say before I even said it most of the time, so he was awesome. But anyway, so these prayer walks, it was just so touching and beautiful to see these kids. We were in an inner city, so you did see a lot of grandparents and single moms. But they still gave us their best. They showed us their best. They threw a blanket over their couch, just so it looked presentable and pretty. You know, these homes were very beautiful. There was a house with the curtains, and they just try very hard. We got to hold puppies in the one house. And the kids were so excited to see us, you know, in their houses, in their neighborhoods, to show us who they were and where they were from. So I'm so thankful that for what we did. It was touching and beautiful. God lives in every person who is there. Like, that's just what I learned and what I saw. And I myself am taking from there new to appreciate more, to love more, and to slow down. And I bought this little heart so I can wear it. My heart will always be changed because of this experience. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm just going to ask you to be a little patient with us because I know we're going over time, but I just want you to hear about these testimonies. I'm going to ask Barb to come up. Barb suggested, you know, after the rat was killed, the animal lover that she was, she wanted to give it mouth to mouth. And I said, Barb, no, I just don't think you should do that. You know, she's a nurse, and she thought, well, come on up, Barb. Yeah. Barb was wonderful. Now, look, how old are you, Barb? I know I shouldn't ask you, but...
71.
But she is 71, and she worked so hard. She was shoveling stones and rocks, and she was attending to people who needed help using her nursing skills, and just very loving. And so thank you for everything that you did. You were wonderful.
Before anything, I have to give God the glory. Amen. No way I would have been there. No way I could have handled any of that without him. And initially, I wasn't even going to go on a trip. I didn't give it a thought. But there were cancellations, and I woke up one morning, and the Lord had said to me, get ready to go on this missions trip. And I thought, who's saying that to me? Because I'm not going on a missions trip. And that far away and as old as I am, I don't think so. But he left me think of it constantly. So my daughter and son-in-law in Cleveland are Christians, and I called them up and I said, I need you guys to pray for me. I said, I kind of heard something from the Lord this morning, and I want to make sure that it was really from him and that I'm not hearing things or losing my mind. So they said, we'll call you back later, Mom, and they did, and they said, well, Mom, pack your bags. Looks like you're going to, and every time I would say where I was going, I'd say some other country, because I would forget. I mean, I was in Costa Rica and Australia, everywhere, I don't know. And my daughter finally said, Mom, we had a lot of prayer at our house, and all their whole prayer group was there, and she said, you gotta be able to say you're going to the Dominican Republic, because that's where you're going, and that's what we're praying for. Anyhow, what a blessing. I mean, truly, what a blessing. I was a nervous wreck from day one, and I think my biggest fear, well, in addition to the language barrier, which is so difficult, but when you all love the Lord, you're all one. Amen. And I didn't have the foggiest idea what they were saying or singing, but it was so precious to me that, you know, I mean, I could just break down at any given time and start crying because it was... I mean, they love the Lord, and they serve the Lord, and some of the conditions that they have to live in, it breaks my heart. I mean, we're so lucky, so lucky. It was just an amazing trip to me, and each day I would pray at night, Lord, you're going to get me through this next day. I don't know if I could do it. And when it came to, like Deanna said, the house visits, oh, no, 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 no. I wasn't ready for that, and I thought, how are we going to do this? You know, how am I going to do it? I said, Lord, please don't make me feel like an idiot in front of these precious people. I was there to try to help them, but do you know what they did for me? In my heart, just so much. But he did help me through each and every day and through all of the difficult things that we had go on. I heard a song on K-Love, and of course I can't remember because of my age. But anyhow, it was about all these problems, you know, that occur. But then, hey, the Lord's right there, and he's going to handle it. Mm-hmm. And he did. No matter what happened, he was there with us. Amen. So I am so appreciative, and if he tells me to go again,
He will.
I'll go. I'll go.
We love Jim.
I'd like to have Ryan come up. Ryan, why don't you share a little bit about your experience as well?
Okay. Well, it was an amazing trip. I really had to prepare my heart because I've never been on a plane. This is my first time flying. And then when we were on the way back, when I heard I got first class, I turned to Josh and said, "First time flying? First class." And so he was not happy, but he had to sit in the back.
I just want to say this. The people in Santiago were so concerned about us losing our flight that they did everything they could to bump us up to first class, right? When we end up in Newark, they're like, "Away with you."
Yeah.
We're Americans, you know? Didn't matter. But anyway, Ryan got to fly in first class. Go ahead.
It was very nice. And so showing off to Josh that, you know, I'm better than him. No, that's not true at all, but... But I just thought it was funny that every time we were going through the airport, they would report, "Joshua Robert Battaglia, report to the security office," or something like that, and he'd get pulled aside. I'd just be like, oh, every time. But I really enjoyed the construction work, working with Rich. We did a lot of gravel, and, you know, I'm a scrawny little guy, and, you know, I'm doing a lot of heavy lifting with these big blocks, and we took down the entire pile. I don't know how many there were, like 400 some blocks.
Yeah, a lot. Sure.
Building a foundation, and you know, it was just so much fun working with everyone, and you know, growing. You know, we come to church every Sunday. You know, we're here for about 2 hours, but we don't get to grow together. And it was really awesome to grow with, you know, everyone here. And I just really noticed, you know, at the construction site how hardworking we were, and the Lord provided us strength, and it was beating hot. And there were times where I just had to stop every maybe 30 minutes or so and just drink water, keep drinking water. Barb, you were a huge help, just coming back and forth, bringing water, and being the awesome nurse you are. And I was just amazed at how the workers were there. They were smiling and praising God while they're working, you know, building this campsite. And I just really focused on, you know, connecting with people, because I'm a huge social person. I love being social and connecting with people. And when we did like a sports day or whatever after a church on a Sunday, and we were playing volleyball, and I'm terrible at volleyball. And
we all agree.
Yeah, it was not a good experience. And apparently I was taught wrong in gym class of how to hit a volleyball, which is true. Freedom High School. But I'd go and hit the ball, and I'd hit it like a baseball, you know, and it'd go flying up on the roof every 5 seconds. And these people, they climb on this basketball hoop, climb up onto these houses or apartment areas and just get the ball. They'd be laughing. I do it, hit it again, goes up on the roof, and they're just howling. And there's these people on the side, and they're like, "Look at that white boy hit the ball." It was just so funny. It was just, and then like after that, there's this group of girls, Dominican girls, and I'm just, you know, yeah, that's what it was. I'm hanging out with Amanda and Alexis, and they asked Alexis if I was single, and I say, "Yeah, I don't have a girlfriend." And then they're like, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh!" It was just they kept making hearts at me and everything like that. I was like,
he was handing out digits like candy.
Just thought it was so funny because there were two girls, they thought I looked identical to Justin Bieber. It was like, and so I started singing some of his number one hits from like 2008, and they were like, ah! It was just so funny. But just connecting with people there, I just had so much fun. There's so much joy and laughter, and that's what I really focus on, is making people smile and laugh, because that's so important in life. And you know, in the relationships with everyone here, you know, Barb, we went swimming one night, and she throws her hat off and just jumps in the pool and does a cannonball. I'm like, Barb, you're crazy. It's like, holy crap. And then Dave and I were out in the morning. I don't know. It was like, it was before devotions. We're chasing chickens. And I was just little stuff like that. It just brings joy, you know. And Steve and Dave were terrible sleepers because they snored the entire night. And I just could not sleep. It was terrible. But other than that, I just really focused on the beautiful sights, the beach. I just walked along the beach either by myself or with someone from another church. I shared my testimony with him, and it really, really impacted both of us just being there surrounded by the beauty of, you know, what Jesus painted. You know, it's just his natural image, and it was just so beautiful. And there was another group. They were from Texas, and our group was going to Baskin Robbins, but I skipped out on that to share with this kid that I really connected with. And the group leader said to me that he, you know, he's a very shy kid, didn't talk much to people, and then when he met me, he just opened up, and he connected with me, and that just, I didn't know what to say, you know, and I have his number, and we FaceTime, and we just talk and talk about God and stuff like that. And he and I had the same, you know, testimony, like, experience. My junior year of high school, I still yet have to share with Rich, I had a near-death experience my junior year of high school after a allergic reaction to hazelnuts, because I'm highly, highly allergic to that. But the kid from Texas, he and I had the same experience as we went through, so how we connected was just so awesome. But it was just overall an amazing experience, and I want to go back.
Yeah. Thank you. Absolutely.
Dave, why don't you come up and share?
Yes, the Nutters are recruiting. Yes.
Well, I really loved the mission trip. It was a wonderful experience, and it was a blessing. And our group was just wonderful. It was neat to see how everybody that was there was meant to be there. It was a God thing, that everybody had great purpose, and it was neat to see how everybody's skills and talents were used, that just in the way God uses each of us, and how, like the VBS, like Tina being a teacher, is like, at first she wasn't signed up to go, and I said to her, because I happened to sit, we got bumped up to first class, and we flew back to Newark together. And I said, wow, it was so great that you were there because, you know, you're a teacher. And I couldn't do what you did. You know, I really just wasn't cut out for that. I was cut out for other things, but I just couldn't do that. And having Barb there, I was so blessed to somebody like, oh, you felt better. Because as a nurse, if something happens to somebody, she's going to know what to do. And everybody else, I could just go on and on and on. But I'll just share one experience with what happened, because this was interesting that I didn't know on Sunday that we were going to be Sunday evening with the youth group, and I thought, well, Sunday there wasn't really nothing scheduled, but they said you're gonna be with the youth group tonight, and we go there, and it was a big courtyard, a basketball court. And the net was up, and, you know, like Ryan mentioned, that we played volleyball. And I'm like, oh, man, they only have one ball. And it would go up on a roof. and they started chanting this girl's name. And this little girl comes out real cool. She's and everyone's yelling, chanting her name. She climbs up the basketball hoop onto a second level, goes all the way up on a roof, gets a ball, you know, and throws it down, and they continue playing. And I was thinking, this is so fun, you know, they're so happy. They only have one ball, though. And I'm thinking in my head, you know, it kind of reminds me of when I was a kid and we had a baseball and it would go on our school roof and it'd throw me up, climb on our shoulders. So I kind of felt at home there. I'm like, this is a neat feeling. I'm in another country. I'm here with these kids. I feel a little bit at home for some reason. And I thought, but I wish they had a basketball, you know. And later after the volleyball, somebody brought a basketball. So there's Dominican kids down the other side of the court. And I'm like, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to try to start a basketball game. I don't speak the language. I don't know how we're going to do this, but I'm going to try to, you know, I want to play basketball. Let's get a game going here. Okay. So, okay, I'm there. Then Josh comes down. He says, I'm not too bad at basketball. But Josh says, you know, they're playing 33. I'm like, I know how to play 33. Okay. So we play a little bit, and then we decide we want to organize some kind of game. And I'm like, this is interesting. You know, we're able to do this. We don't know what they're saying. They don't know what we're saying. We get the game going. It goes pretty good. And I have a great time playing basketball. It was just a lot of fun. And I felt at home. And then we're done. We break. And then they call me back. Hey, Rich and Josh, come on back over, Steve. We're playing another game of basketball. And it ended up the USA versus the Dominican Republic. Okay. They didn't know that we were all, you know, pretty good at this game. Yeah, they're old gray-haired guys and whatever, you know. We had one young guy. But Rich really held his own. He was rebounding, and he was moving. He was really moving. I was really like, wow. So we're winning this game. We're holding our own. We're rebounding. It's a pretty physical game, and you know. But the game ends. We ended up losing by a point or something. But you know. So the next day, Alexis comes up to me and says, "So Dave, what's your favorite time of the mission trip so far?" And I said, "Oh, I liked when I burned that kid yesterday. I stole a ball off and drove it down a court, did a nice layup." And so, you know, I'm laughing and Josh is laughing. I'm like, nah, you know. But the whole week went by. And, you know, I'm like, you know, we're working, we're doing different things. There's so much. We did so many things. It was packed. And it was unbelievable. It was so neat the way that sometimes it was like, what are we doing next? You know, oh, we're going here, we're going there. But anyways, it was, I think it was Friday, and their pastor, we did a worship service at the cafeteria at the institution. So the whole week goes by. And the pastor's talking about that Sunday. And he mentioned the youth group to us. He said, you know, you didn't have to come here. You came here because you wanted to. He said, nobody made you come here. And he said, you loved our kids. And you demonstrated Christ to them. And they backing up one notch, they have this thing. They think Americans think they're better than them. And you didn't demonstrate that to them at all. You demonstrated Christ to them. They saw Christ in you. That's really what we went there for. So I just, like, and, you know, as far as everybody playing their part, everyone doing what God led them to do. It wasn't a me thing. It wasn't I'm good at this, so I'll do this. And everybody did what God prepared for them to do in advance. So.
Finally, we have Linda Hahn, and it was wonderful getting to know Linda better. Linda and Marty are relatively new to our church. They've been here for about 3 or 4 years, but I think it's 3 or 4 years. 3 or 4 years?
Actually, 6.
Is that 6 years? No way.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, we're here, we live here for 7 years.
And is that right?
In August.
So we'll see.
We were trying to find a church.
Can't trust me for remember
okay.
things. I'm
and,
sorry.
We love it here.
But I remember all my wife's birthdays and anniversaries and stuff. But,
well, that's good. You're one up on Marty.
I just
on that.
Dropped it here. So. Sorry, Marty. So in any case, I just want to say about Linda that I just loved watching her love kids, and she has a very sweet spirit about her. And like with Dina and Barb in particular, those children really took to her. And so I look forward to what you have
Thank
to say.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. I'm going to try to be short and sweet since I'm the last one. It was very moving, very rewarding, and I think you got a good grip on what we did there. I just want to talk about our team. Our team was phenomenal. I wish the other four could be here, but Dina is such a natural-born leader, and her teacher skills just shine through, and she took charge, and I try to be her little assistant, which I am assistant teacher, and be by her side and help. And it ran smoothly. It was wonderful. So kudos to her. She did the video and everything. So everyone did bring their talents, like Dave said. Ryan is just a ladies' man, let me tell you. He blew me away because he's so just like, you know, docile and sweet nature. But, man, talking about passing out digits. He got a lot of phone numbers, I think. But he's just loving with it. You know, it's just genuine, and he just really wants to socialize. But he's very good at flirting. I'm just going to say that. Dave is quite the athlete, okay? So we had no idea, but he blew us away with the volleyball and on the court. Playing basketball, when he stole that ball and did that layup, we were like, woo! We were like, praise Dave. So he was just truly amazing. And Barbara, she's got a wit about her that you'll just knock your pants off. I love her. I said, just keep firing them at me. And because, you know, we were nervous. We were nervous to do everything. And we wanted to do it right. And I would say, just keep throwing those one-liners at me, Barb, and keep my spirits up. And she would. And she's just, we became good friends. And I think I became good friends with everyone. And Rich was our rock. We came across obstacles, especially trying to get back, and he kept us cool, and he was calm and focused, and he always made sure we were together and counted us, and just a great, great leader that way. So I just am so grateful to be a part. You know, I didn't know them all that well when I signed up, and I figured, well, I feel this calling. I'm going to do it. And some people, you're like, oh, I wish I didn't get to know them that well because I don't really like them. But I can't say that about, truly, I cannot say that about one person, including the four that are not here. I truly love each and every one of them. And it really came from our heart. And it showed. It showed every minute we were there. So I'm grateful. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
You really have been extraordinarily patient just sitting for this long and listening to all these testimonies. So thank you. But, those things change our lives.
Yeah.